Bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin, but they still reveal things to us. As they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table, the story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
My name is Jeff Grove, and I'll be playing Sergeant Willis Masters.
This is Jeremy. I'm playing Captain Orion James.
I am Carlin. I play Dran Renner.
This is Stephanie. I play Dr. Miranda Kristoff.
This is Johnny. I play Professor Edric Farthings.
And I am Jordan. I am the GM, and I am bringing all the fun to this particular little corner of the RPG world.
Bringing the pain.
I nearly did, but it's been fun pain, so we can kind of go with that. Oh, you know what? I forgot to hand out these.
Oh, yeah, we need our hero.
I need
hero
5 points. Ships.
4.
I need 10.
4.
I
I'm kidding.
Have
4 need 10, points. But
I want 10.
How many do you need?
I legitimately have 4, so watch out, everyone.
Oh, I have a feeling we're
written on our sheet, right?
Blow all of your points. We're coming back.
In one conversation.
Yeah, pretty much.
If I was a more organized GM...
Written on our sheet, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If I was a more organized GM, then we would have handed those out beforehand, but that's not how I roll, so...
I got what you did there.
Yes, indeed. So anyway... Let's go ahead and get back into the action. Previously on Bone Throwers Theater, there was a lot of crazy things that happened. We had Captain James riding behind Burntail on a pterodactyl, flying back towards the camp of Landing Team Beta. We had Carlin try to remove Landing Team Beta from... aforementioned camp because he deemed that it was no longer safe considering that there had been an enclave of the true hive only a few miles away.
It's legit.
Willis had escaped finally from the tree that had held him captive and was now turned into a magical creature.
Yes. Honestly, I view him as like Santa Claus, but like a vegetable Santa Claus. You know what I mean?
That's kind of the way I pictured myself too, except
less fat.
No hat?
Yeah, quite a bit skinnier.
Yeah, I just mean like mainly facial qualities.
Yeah, facial qualities.
And the giving nature. Like, you're just gonna go around like giving out, you know, tree presents.
Acorn.
Yeah,
have
like,
a leaf.
It's like death and dismemberment.
How about encased in amber?
The thing is that Willis comes from a place where trees are not really part of the everyday environment. So his idea of the ecology is that it's all out to kill you. So
yeah, that's a good point.
And Johnny's character, Edric, was actually in the process of building a... weapon to defeat the true hive.
And growing a backbone.
And he was actually growing a backbone as well, standing up to the inimitable...
You're going down, Dran!
Dran.
Dran's not like this.
So, if we're going to have a wrestling match right now, that would be
well,
awesome.
Well, then Dran would definitely win right now, because I have a broken leg, so...
Edric is ready!
Science! Probably some of the most disturbing stuff that happened last session was with Miranda and Wendy as they had been dragged through the forest by members of the True Hive, taken to a cave behind a waterfall, and Miranda was forced to treat members of Landing Team Alpha so that they could become members of the True Hive.
I was forced by...
She was forced by A.J. McKinley, who had been...
Altered.
Skewered. His eyes were now a sea of green.
AJ Lazy Eyed McKinley.
Yes. And he talked like this. How are you doing today, Miranda?
I'm not looking at you.
As creepy as possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jordan's good at that.
Some of us just have different spiritual gifts. Mine are
the gift of creep.
Mine is heresy and scary.
I actually picture Jordan like at home in front of a mirror just practicing these voices.
I know, right?
And like staring himself down creepily.
Here's the thing, I legitimately do that.
Make See? My day.
I'm clairvoyant.
I actually do it at work, too, just not when I'm on the phone with people.
Well, that's nice of you. It's thoughtful.
So anyway, we're going to go ahead and get things started with Dran Renner preparing to find out what has happened to Willis and Orion as they come back into the camp.
So at this point, have the pterodactyl riding folk shown up, or they're still kind of en route? Because I would like it to be where they're still en route at the moment.
They're still en route, okay. But remember, they were only about an hour out.
Okay.
So time is moving pretty quickly.
Sounds good. Okay, so Dran is going to get on his comm, because I assume this is basically like right after he had the conversation with them on the comms that they're coming back.
We'll say it's about 5 minutes after that.
Okay, so Dran's on his comm to everyone and saying, can't disclose too much about this, but our folks, Orion James and Willis Masters are potentially coming back with a party member from Team Alpha, and the Jaguar people. Don't question it at this point. They say they're friendly. Hard to tell at this point. So I need everyone to arm themselves and come together in the middle of camp. Please do this. Everyone, assemble weapons drawn. Just in case. We need to be very, very cautious about this.
I would say go ahead and roll command on that.
Dang. Why do I always have to roll things? Why can't you just let me be things?
Because I gotta see how well the military is going to respond to this particular information.
I hope they love
the
it.
The last order Robinson received was to have weapons ready. But not trained, but not
ready to go. Yeah.
Okay, so I have 12.
Okay. So everybody seems to think that this is a legitimate source of threat, because it could be that your people are coming back as hostages.
Right. So, and honestly, like, people saw what happened with the True Hive, basically, so they could legitimately believe that indoctrination or, you know, what's the other word I'm looking for? Assimilation has kind of occurred with these folks. And, you know, having said that some Jaguar folks are coming with them, and nobody has a favorable view of them.
No,
at this
well,
point,
I mean,
so
it
would make sense for everyone to be very cautious.
Yeah, and I can definitely understand why there would be a negative view in the camp of the Jaguar people.
Hate those Jaguar.
Yeah. So, as you're going through this process of getting everything ready, one of the team members comes up to talk to you, and it's Gregory Himmel, a member of the science team. He's one of the biologists.
Science.
He comes up to you and he's just like, Dran, I don't know about this. I mean, this is something that bringing these people back into our camp at this time is something that could really be a problem. You know, I mean, they're bringing the enemy directly into our camp. Do you think that this is a sound idea?
I share your concerns, which is why I said what I said on the comm, and I have asked everyone to be armed and to show up armed. We're going to assess the threat when they show up, but I need everyone to be armed, like I said,
right,
and ready to engage in a firefight if it comes down to it. There's a slight possibility that there might not be a problem, but I emphasize slight possibility. I'm very hesitant to believe this. So you are correct in coming to me with this, but at this moment, you need to be getting ready. Please help other people with the science team. Science? Get ready.
Okay. I mean, the thing is, though, that we've heard some of the military people talking. apparently there's some issues with Orion. I mean, he seems to be a little, you know, there were issues with him in the military.
What do you mean? What type of issues?
Well, I mean, you heard about his divorce, right?
I haven't heard much. I mean, I've just heard that there was a messy divorce with someone else involved in the military.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that he's a lot more unstable since that divorce happened. He's been, like, pushing people away and everything like that. So, it's just... I don't know if he can be trusted. Because he's going to make these rogue decisions, and he's not going to consult with you. You're effectively the leader of the civilian part of this team. So,
let me stop you for a second. I'm the leader of this operation, period. It's not just the civilian aspect of it. Without me at the head of this, this all falls apart. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Gregory? I mean, yeah. I think that you're the person that was chosen to lead this team, and you're probably the best person for the job. I'm sure you were the first choice for this team when they were putting things together.
That's right. Let me say this. I share your concerns about Orion James. I've always shared these concerns. Mm-hmm. I've tried to keep him as close as possible and collaborate with him to make sure that I have a close eye on what he's actually been doing. The biggest concern came for me when he engaged in altercations with Miranda Kristoff.
That like on the original landing?
Well, not only that, but I heard about their little boxing bout ahead of the departure from the space station.
Hell yeah, I remember that. I heard that too. They were talking about that. You know, she was pretty bitchy when they, the next day when we were getting on the plane and everything. I mean, I can definitely, that makes sense now considering what I heard about, like, him laying down the law, so to speak. And you know what? That just seems like something that a person who's trying to, you know, take power and show their dominance, that's something that they would do.
Oh, I know. Gregory, how do you feel about maybe being a little covert?
Mr. Renner, I always have your back.
Okay. What I would like you to do is continue to keep your ears open. Maybe if you can try and keep yourself close to the military personnel to kind of see what their take is on Orion James. Even Robinson, too. I want to know how things are going in those circles. And if you can report back to me. Be as hidden as possible about this stuff. Don't draw attention to yourself, and certainly don't put yourself in any legitimate danger. But like I said, get yourself ready, help get your buddies in the science team, and if you can help elsewhere, get them ready for this party of winged creatures and its riders to show up.
All right. Well, Jan, I really do appreciate you taking this time to talk with me. This has been a load off of my mind. I think I'm going to go ahead and make sure that everything is set up. And I'll definitely do what you've asked me to do. It's something that I really feel strongly about. We need to have a strong civilian leadership for this team, or things are just going to fall apart.
All right. Well, do what you can. Also, if you can just do your best to keep the science team in line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Edric is pretty much a pushover, but you knew that, so.
Well, he did have an interaction with me recently where he showed a little spine, and
the bastard.
I'd like, to the best of your ability, I'd like you to tactfully ease that out of him.
Well, we'll see what we can do. He's had a history of fooling around with interns, so we might be able to work that.
Alright, well, thank you so much, Gregory. I appreciate you coming to me for this. And at the moment, you're my man in the field.
Fist bump.
You got it. and seen. Man, Gregory's the man.
Gosh. So you continue on with your various and assorted activities that...
Johnny's over there just, like, looking a little unhappy. He's got, like, shaking his head.
He's stress eating right now.
You know, stress and anxiety, when it comes together, you just have to tag team queso and just work it through.
Tag team queso!
Well played, sir.
Yeah, so... Anyway, as you're going about your various chores that you're trying to accomplish, making sure that everybody is prepared, the rest of the group comes up to where you ask them to meet up once they got their weapons together and everything like that.
All right. So basically, Dran actually in this instance will defer to Robinson to set up kind of a perimeter. Would Dran have an idea of where they're going to end up landing? Like, is there an area that would seem obvious?
Probably the area across from the quarantine tent. Okay. You know, like how it was...
an open area.
I'm assuming where the fire was, where we burned everything.
Yeah.
Well, we did that for a perimeter, didn't we?
Yeah, there was
where we burned all the bodies and stuff.
Well, yeah,
the first night. That was...
Into the south of the camp.
That's probably the most... open
place. I mean, yeah, this is kind of the arrangement of it with the quarantine tent on this far side, and then this whole spot over here is open.
Okay.
So probably they would come around and land in that area,
the north of the camp.
Yeah.
Okay. So in which case, Dran's gonna say to Robinson, "Look, you know, we've got these potential bogeys coming into the area. I assume they're going to land in the north because that's where the most space is. I'm sure you would probably agree with that being the most feasible."
Yeah, that is... I mean, they said... Well, how many was it? Was it five or seven?
It was seven.
Seven winged creatures. So that they need some space for that.
Yeah.
So that's the most open space.
Okay.
My suggestion would be to sort of have the military personnel sort of... a sort of perimeter that landing zone, so that they, when they land, they're all surrounded, rather than have everybody grouped up into one area if it is going to be an attack.
That sounds like a good idea. The only idea I would throw out is maybe have at least a portion of the group in hiding in case we need this element of surprise. But, you know, I would defer to you to figure out what's best, because you're obviously the man with this stuff, and I fully trust what you're doing here.
I would say let's have the most experienced of the civilian people with their weapons be the ones sort of in hiding, but have the military, the whole squad, sort of form that perimeter in the landing zone.
Now, remember, a lot of the area had been struck down because you guys had been trying to get on the move. Right. So there might be a little bit more extra space there than what you had originally thought. So I don't know if that will alter your plans any, but it sounds like you guys have a pretty solid idea at this point.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much whatever's still up that can be hidden behind... Let's utilize that.
The science tent, not the tent.
The tent of science. Let's do that, and then, you know, if we have to have the element of surprise on our side, we can have that. But like I said, do what you know, you've heard my side of it. Do what you need to do. I trust that, you know, you'll have this handled properly, and hopefully things go well. I would like yourself, and if you can think of anyone else who might be important there to greet the party, you know, people who are highly trained in closer combat, if we have to.
Okay. I'd get probably Smith. He's the biggest of us, even though he gets a lot of flack for his name, but Winifred. It's probably made him what he is. have to deal with that, so.
Alright, sounds good. Yeah, bring whoever you think best and then kind of hide a lot of the rest and let's just be ready. And that's all Dran's got for that convo.
So things pretty much proceed according to plan. And after a while, you start seeing coming in from the horizon these giant flying beasts.
Caw-caw!
Caw-caw! Yeah, all so... right. They begin circling around. Orion, what do you see as you're coming into the camp?
I see trees. I see the camp. It's sort of halfway broken down. Stuff looks like it's been starting to get packed up. I get on comms because I said I would radio First Sergeant when I saw the camp. And I say, okay, First Sergeant, if you look above, you should see us on approach. The best idea, I would like you guys to, I see you're already starting to do this, form a sort of perimeter around the most open landing zone, just to, so when we set down, everybody's right there.
Roger, understood, Roger. Sir.
Roger, Roger.
And who are you playing?
Stephanie took over for Sergeant. Since I...
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to play both of them at the same time.
He just had a moment.
Yeah.
His voice broke.
He's going to puberty again.
Again?
His voice is changing.
And just a reminder, weapons ready, but not drawn, not aimed. We need to ease any tension.
Phaser set to stun?
Yeah.
Understood, sir.
All right. So you guys, I would imagine that there's quite a bit of a backdraft from a giant pterodactyl. A
posse of dactyls.
Yeah. Posse dactyl.
What would a group of pterodactyls be called?
I like a posse.
Would it be a gaggle?
A gaggle of dactyls?
A gaggle dactyl.
Sure. But these are not like your, you know... I would imagine that an ordinary pterodactyl would be about the size of a bald eagle. So a pretty significant wingspan. Ordinary. These are ginormous pterodactyls. These are
the eagles from Lord of the Rings.
Yes, these... Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Which leads me to one of my finer rants about Lord of the Rings, how they always talked about the eagles just dropping the ring in from overhead. From to the cracks of Doom. Mm-hmm. Well, they couldn't get over it because of the volcanic updraft. So.
Ugh.
So if you go high enough, you could have a paratrooping hobbit, but.
Oh, wow. I think there's a video game like that somewhere.
Paratrooping hobbit?
Yeah. All right.
Anyway. So you guys, seven of these gigantic pterodactyls set down, and you see quite a few jaguars. There's one person that used to look like Willis Masters. He's now all green and mossy. And there's also a human woman dressed up in what you are assuming to be local jaguar finery. So
this is Barking. Okay. So they've landed, and are they're still on the pterodactyls, or they're getting
They've just like landed. They're just have set down
okay.
on the ground.
So as soon as they're kind of
weird against regulation,
as soon as they're getting off of the pterodactyls, and you know they're actually going to be able to start walking. Dran was lifting his rifle up and commanding them to put their weapons down. It's like, stop! Put your weapons down. Yep.
Command roll?
Yeah, like, is the military following suit here?
Well, he's not wearing the military on the ground, though.
How do you want to resist, Orion?
I'm going to yell out, Mr. Renner, lower your weapon.
So that's a command weapon. Roll
10.
As well.
My roll is a 10. On command.
But I'm minus 2d, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We need to do your healing check. We'll do that after this.
We'll do that when Miranda takes a look at you. Oh yeah, that's right. She's serving the bees.
Do we have any?
You got a plus 12.
Steph still left?
Yeah, Jindal's still here.
Jindal.
Okay. It's minus 2.
Minus 2d. 12.
12.
So you rolled a 10.
Yep.
And he rolled a 12.
Yep.
Well, the military takes orders from the military.
So they put their weapons down?
Yeah.
Well, our weapons weren't at the ready anyway. Well,
they didn't. I mean, they didn't raise
their
weapons.
So
Dran was the only one that.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Dran, how do you?
So would that be a situation where Dran puts it down?
It could be. I mean, technically, the roll was.
I mean, if that's what.
Technically strong enough for you to lower it.
Okay.
But I would assume that, I can't speak for your character, but I would assume that it's something that you do at least hesitantly.
Yeah. That's actually what I would.
And then Orion would back that up right after that command. Is like, I understand your
trepidation.
Your skepticism on this.
Thank you.
You just got to trust me.
Perceptive for Dran. I want to use my perceptive perk.
Okay.
So Dran can tell if this seems actually sincere or not.
It does seem sincere, but you do kind of notice that the human woman in the finery kind of smirks a little when Orion says that and just kind of places her hand on his shoulder.
Mm. Okay. So,
trust me.
Okay, so Dran...
And only me.
You mean not the person behind you?
What about me, Captain?
I'm
Santa Tree.
I'm getting there.
You guys didn't catch
masters.
This who are listening, but Hold he on. Reached up and like forcibly shoved her hand off of his shoulder.
Okay, so Dran would, because the role went the way it went, and he perceived that things are, you know, that it seems Orion is himself. Is what I assume I picked up from that. He is hesitantly putting it down because there's still Jaguar folk there, so it's very hesitant. And the strange woman behind Captain James also gives him kind of pause. So yeah, he kind of like lowers it a little bit and then holds it up and then slowly lowers it down all the way. So that's how that goes. And... I think Dran would then be like, look, okay, I'm lowering it, but please only those we're familiar with approach at first.
Oh.
To talk.
Yes.
Jaguar folk over there.
There's a long list in my head of what needs to happen. And number one on the list is anybody of the Jaguar people needs to stay right here until we can sort a lot of this other stuff out.
Yep.
Okay.
I totally agree. That's what I'm looking for.
First Sergeant, just so that there's no confusion, I want the military to hold this perimeter out here and no one from our camp approaches as well. So you got a twofold mission here. Keep the Jaguars and Pterodactyls confined to this space, not forcibly or hostily, but anyone of our civilian members, they are to stay away as well. There's tons of conversations that need to happen.
Yes, sir.
Before also, anything else.
Good to have you back, sir.
From what I hear, this is not a good situation. So, we'll find out if it's good to be back or not.
Understood, sir.
So at this point, are the two parties kind of approaching, like, closing the distance and meeting in the middle? I assume.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would be.
What two parties?
Yeah. So it would be, I assume, Dran and Robinson and Winifred Smith, I guess.
Yeah.
Just those three? Does that make
sense? I just told the military to
keep
have the perimeter. So.
Yeah. I think
I want first. I'm going to call up Gregory.
First Sergeant could still be approaching for further instruction. Winifred Smith. should be turning around and holding the perimeter. If he's not, then that's...
I think also Edric would be a part of that group, just in general.
Well, I was still back in the science tent.
Okay. Oblivious. Yeah. He has to roll his notice check to see if he even heard the get armed.
I heard that, but it's, everybody get armed means make sure you have a weapon ready.
Well, I got two arms right here. They're both attached to my body.
I got two arms and one leg.
And it makes sense because...
I was also working on a weapon.
Exactly, and you're very, very into that.
And also, we have a time crunch to get that weapon done.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so really it would be Dran. Dran's going to call up Himmel to be at his side, and can he get anyone else?
Jindal, like a member of the medical team.
Yeah, Jindal.
Okay.
God, Jindal.
I don't want the medical staff right there. That's a bad idea. Because if they get killed,
then it's really obvious.
Yeah, from that. I want someone. I mean, Dran would plead to have someone.
I would
at least one person from the military.
Speaking for Jindal, while you're thinking of that, well, Robinson was already right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So speaking for Jindal, he'll approach you and say, "We need to get a blood test of the cat, make sure he's not infected."
No, we'll get to that. Yeah, definitely. You're totally right.
Orion wants to turn to Burntail. To sort of
communicate,
let her know what's going on.
Touch her face. talk that way.
So, I mean, he pretty much turns her, points to the pot, and is like...
Yeah, so she opens up the pot, and this is the first time that Dran has seen Burntail's little ritual of sticking her burned tail into a pot full of coals. And then... She reaches out and she touches your shoulder, Orion.
All right. And then I'm going to communicate internally in my head, saying, we have to sort things out the way we do. The Sky People sort things out. So you guys are going to have to stay here. My military personnel, my soldiers, are going to make sure that there's no tension between the two groups. So you guys just sit tight right here. They're going to make sure that no one else is going to come in. I've got to sort thing out with our leaders and the ambassador. And then we'll be right back.
Would he have to make a roll for that? Just to see if the Jaguar folks actually listen?
Well, I'm just communicating to Burntail.
Well, yeah. I mean, so, would Burntail listen, though? That's the thing. Or would Burntail be skeptical?
I feel like Burntail, just my personal take on it, is that she would like to be as part of the meeting because...
Like representative for the...
As a representative for the people because if we are now allies, we need to be communicating.
I understand, and I agree. But if you recall, when we first entered your encampment... Your leaders had to meet first, and then we were brought into the conversation. Sort of has to work the same way. So that will come. We just need to sort things out on our front first, just as you had to do.
We do not want to be put in cages.
No, we don't have any cages. That is one difference. We were put in cages. We're not going to do that.
Do you promise?
We don't have any cages.
But I have a net.
Edric does have a net.
An electric net.
As you will. It is not something that I relish being left here with all of your soldiers, but if we must, we must.
I'll leave Masters with you.
Well and good.
Well, he can set up roots there.
Okay, so you guys, where are you guys going to go and have your meeting?
Well, as soon as she says okay, I'm not forcibly, but like taking her hand off and saying, Masters, you're staying here. You are pretty much making sure that nothing goes down here.
Ambassador.
Aye, sir.
Since you obviously, you're the most knowledgeable on what actually is going down.
All right.
Try and keep everything in line.
Yes, sir.
And then that's when I'm going to turn around and I'm like, Captain James, on comms, Captain Quebec, First Sergeant, we need to have a meeting.
Do you want to have your meeting in the cockpit?
It's the secret meeting place.
It's the no girls.
Sir, before you go into the
clubhouse, yeah, exactly.
Before you go into the ship, I want to try and see if I can do something real quick.
Okay.
Do what?
Communications.
I want to see if I can bring it down out of the trees.
If you do, set it down. Don't drop it.
Be gentle.
There's still stuff in there we may need, so... I
don't even know...
What are you talking about?
Just... I just want to try something, sir. Am I allowed to do so, sir?
Sure. Go ahead. What are you going to do?
Turns, walks over to a tree, and sort of, like, touches it, sort of feeling out what's going on.
Roll your French flu.
My French flu is...
Dude, that's a power?
I thought it was an affliction. Okay. So it went from a complication to a perk.
A 7 plus 2 is 9.
Man. So it's very easy to communicate with the tree.
All right.
The canopy feels your presence and reaches out to you. Welcome, small brother.
Interesting. I have a request of you, I guess.
And what would your request be?
Could you lower the giant metal object out of your branches onto the ground gently, please?
We haven't liked it having it anyway. Yeah, of course. And so, how do you describe what happens?
I guess the branches would grow around it some, just to get a hold on it, and then just extend and lower it, and the trees bend.
The tail end down to the ground.
Yeah, lowering the tail end down to the ground.
So you guys see, like, this...
These trees just bow.
Like, and you start hearing, like, this noise of...
Creaking
and incredible growth, and you just start seeing vines just looping around the back of the ship, and the trees just all of a sudden just bend down until... The back end of the plane is now resting flat against the ground, and now the plane is completely solid. It's not at an angle. You guys could enter and leave like the actual hatchways without having to climb through the broken cockpit.
I turn to Masters. I'm like,
I let go of the tree and go, did it work?
And that's where we're going to pause.
Coming soon to a podcatcher near you.
Hey there, that's Carlin.
And that's Jordan.
We've got a lot of interests in common.
Beer.
Role-playing games.
Podcasting.
And movies.
We've combined the first three things in our podcast collective, Nerd Circle Podcast Productions.
And we thought it was high time we add movies to that list.
With that in mind, we invite you to check out Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night.
It's a weekly podcast that explores movies that can be found streaming on the internet's most popular paid movie service.
We talk about each film's story structure, symbolism in the film, significant themes, directing, acting. If you can think of it, it's fair game.
So with that being said, we dish spoilers like there's no tomorrow.
You think people care about that?
Well, it is the internet.
Ah, true.
Anyway, we would love for you to join us.
Absolutely. We want you to help us pick which movies to watch.
Check out our website, mostexcellentmovienight.com, for further info.
Or just search for Carlin and Jordan's Most Excellent Movie Night in iTunes.
Mostexcellentmovienight.com.
Where movies are most excellent.
All right, thank you very much for coming back to the bottom half of this episode of Bone Throwers Theater. We are going to go ahead and cut from the scene at Landing Team Beta.
Really, really fast. Dran, obviously he would not react to the weirdness that is Willis Masters. So he would actually yell to Orion James, "What is that?"
And then we cut scene.
Cut scene.
What is that?
And Ryan is in his head is like, that's Sergeant Willis Masters putting in for promotion to Staff Sergeant.
Hey, congratulations.
All right.
Cutscene. Miranda.
Oh, am I waking up?
How are you?
Am I actually waking up?
No, like, in the cavern? I would assume that you've been awake for a while.
I don't know how much time has passed.
Yeah. So you are still in the cavern behind the waterfall. And things are going interestingly for you.
Indeed they are.
You and Wendy have been left pretty much to your own devices, sitting next to the pile of supplies that have been taken from Landing Team Alpha. And every once in a while, McKinley comes up and says, "Have you checked on them?"
Is that what he's doing now?
Yes.
I say, yes, I've been checking them on them every hour. I cannot make change happen faster, especially with these limited supplies. I really need you to allow me to return to my camp and get better supplies so I can treat them.
I can't do that.
Well, then I can't make a miracle happen.
Are they at least recovering sufficiently? Are they on the way to recovery?
It's still too early to tell.
Awfully pushy for a mass of bees.
Shut up, I sting you.
I'm not there, thankfully.
I sting you.
That's another shirt. Shut up, I sting you.
With the guy with his eye.
Free tree hugs and shut up, I sting you.
Oh my goodness.
Tag Team Queso.
Tag Team Queso. So, McKinley seems to be a little disturbed that, you know, they're not healing right away, immediately. Mm. You know, so he says, "I would that they be better soon."
As would I.
"Because then your transformations can take place."
That we don't see eye to eye on.
Eye to eye on.
Wendy's just, like, putting her head into, like, her knees and just rocking back and forth.
Is she still stuck in the bee nato?
No, she's not. She's out of the bee nato. She's been left with you.
Oh, good.
That's it.
She's going to be the hottest bee person.
Well, and I assume Miranda got to her feet, like, every time that McKinley comes up. She gets to her feet and kind of steps, like, in front of... And
Wendy is just like, oh god, I know what's going to happen.
Okay, honey.
McKinley reaches out with his hand, and the bees just recede. And you can see that he is holding a medical grade scalpel. And he says, "I have plans for this. I would not like it to be your throat."
A little bit of the color drains from Miranda's face, but otherwise she tries not to show a reaction and doesn't respond.
"You will be like me. It will be glorious. Check on them once more."
"I'll do that." And she just turns to go check on them.
So what do you find when you go back up to the pallets of the 8 members of Landing Team Alpha?
Oh, I imagine if there's any change, it's a mild positive change, but probably not a ton. They were pretty ill-treated.
Yeah, you want to roll for it?
Roll your medical.
Shut up, I sting you.
Shut up, I sting you. Alright, it's 9.
So 7 are fine. There were 8 originally. And one of them has found a sharp rock and has actually, like, cut their wrists on the rock.
Oh, sawed it open. Ah.
Ouch.
And... They're in the process of bleeding out.
That's a bummer. Triage.
Which one's your wild?
I don't know.
But Miranda does have actual medical equipment though, right? Okay.
So I mean, she's got
limited.
Limited medical supplies.
Do you get a wild die?
Yes. That'll stop him from leaping on his wrist.
21.
Very difficult.
Yeah. I had set that at 25. Dead. So the person is most definitely bleeding out. There's nothing. You do everything that you can to try and save them. But that member of the team, it was actually the one who asked you to help them die.
So how's AJ gonna feel about that? Are you gonna tell AJ?
She's Miranda, so the minute that they take their last breath, she probably curses really loud.
Lupa!
Shock!
And we're going to now cut back to the meeting of the minds back at Landing Team Beta.
Okay. Not the hive minds, just...
So, in that meeting, would it be... This is a meeting between the two groups, then, correct?
No, it's a meeting just of the leaders of...
Yeah. Actually...
Leading Team Beta.
Actually, it's the meeting of just both Captain James's, Captain Quebec, and First Sergeant.
Nope. Dran doesn't allow it. Dran has to be there.
Nope. He does not.
Yeah, he does.
And this is where it's going down.
Yeah, so what would this role be, basically? Because basically what happened is, I guess Dran would see that this meeting is called, so Dran would be like, absolutely not. You know, we still are hesitant, basically, to even meet with them, and on top of it, they're going to seclude two members from this group and could just easily kill them, then. So not going there.
What do you mean, seclude two members?
Well, you'd be going out of view, like, inside the ship. So if Dran can't see what's going on, there's two members from our group who would be in there.
The people who were remaining from Landing Team Beta. He's saying that...
First Sergeant and Quebec.
Yeah, exactly. Those are, like...
They're not affected.
Yeah, in Dran's mind, those are his people. And now... James and everyone over there, that's those people. So basically, his people and those people being alone without him present, bad idea. Because he thinks that, you know, basically they could just slaughter those people and then that's two less that are there to defend if something goes wrong.
Okay. All right. Is that how you voice it?
Yeah, basically. Okay. I mean, Dran would say that. He's like, you know, he would actually be kind of diplomatic about it because he perceived that you are yourself. So he would basically be like, you have to know I can't let that happen. Like, I have to be present because, you know, I realize you're bringing people with you, but I can sense that you are legitimately telling me what you're telling me. But I don't know about the people with you, and we have to be safe. You have to understand that.
Aurora pipes up. He does have a point.
Oh, Aurora, I like this chick. What's that?
I get what you're saying. However, let's see if we can work it in a little bit different way. And here's why. This is the leader of the Alpha team here. We need to debrief, as you know, that was a military-only operation. So that there's information in there that, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure I have the clearance to know. But because of the situation, I was let in on a couple things. So I know for a fact that civilians are not supposed to know what's going on. But I can understand your concerns for safety. So the military will have to meet apart from any civilian entity at this point.
Could Dran go along and just, like, cover his ears?
If you would like that to happen in open view, but not in earshot, we can do that.
That makes sense. But at the same time, do you really have to meet... Now, can't we talk first? We can establish threat or not threat, and then later you can potentially have your meeting.
We need to handle this now. As part of the information that was presented to me, we need to handle this now before we can decide what is the best thing for the entire group going forward. What the next step for the entire group is. So we need to hash this out.
Has to be in view.
In view. Perfectly fine.
All right.
And I turned it to Robinson, and Quebec is like, comms off. Set them right here. No one listens in.
Robinson follows suit.
They take off their equipment, put it down. They don't leave their weaponry, though.
No.
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 But they're in view.
correct?
Yep.
Okay. Before they walk over there, the other Captain James just reaches out and says, Captain Aurora James, and you are...
Dran just looks at her. And then actually just kind of slowly grabs the hilt of his knife. And he just doesn't say anything.
What do you want to bet she likes then?
He just grabs the hilt of his knife, basically.
I like to see where people's priorities are. I'll be talking to you later.
Did she really just wink at him?
And then the song... And
Orion James sees that and looks at Dran's like... Thumbs up. Gives him a nod, thumbs up, and then walks off.
And then the song
to start the meeting.
And then the song by New Order pops in my mind: "Bizarre Love Triangle."
Ugh.
That's a weird one. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, yeah.
So we walk over to the designated meeting spot, which is now not the secret cockpit, which has been so handily removed from the trees.
I know, you prepared it so nicely.
That was awesome. I had fun with that.
Jeff was having a heavenly choir moment.
All right. Do we have time for this meeting now?
Yeah, we do.
All right. So, we need somebody for Quebec. We need somebody for Robinson and Aurora.
One moment.
Well, Jordan just has so much fun playing Aurora.
Yeah. Jordan, you gonna be Aurora?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be Quebec.
Robinson.
If I can find Quebec.
Did he have a card? I don't know.
I don't remember if he did.
I don't think he had a card for some reason.
He did have a card.
Really?
Or Quebec. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I might have lost some of the cards along the way.
Tossed it with orbitals.
I still have orbitals.
Let's just use orbitals.
It's right here.
Resurrect. Oh, no zombies. Dang.
Was his consciousness downloaded into any sort of technology before?
His consciousness was downloaded into the overrun.
No, we didn't say anything about resurrections. We just said no zombies.
My net and shoot the gun that I have is accidentally laying on top of all the jaguars.
Oh my god. Can you imagine how poorly things would go then?
Oh.
Yeah. It's like, oh, jaguars!
Actually.
That is kind of in character.
Okay.
No one thought of that.
Yeah, hold on.
Okay. I have to make a few rolls to see if my net's actually built yet. So
I do not have a card for Quebec. But we will go ahead and grab one of our stock characters.
And pretend that's Quebec.
And pretend that is Quebec. Okay, so the meeting begins.
All right, Captain James. This is Captain Quebec. And First Sergeant Robinson. Okay.
Robinson salutes.
Leader of the Alpha Expedition. Unfortunately, this is the only survivor of the Alpha Expedition. As you know, it was all military expedition. They had an objective which Captain James has requested we still try and fulfill.
It is very important for the entire reason of for Landing Team Alpha being on the planet.
Yes, I've decided that we can try and assist in fulfilling that mission as long as it does not jeopardize the safety of the entire group here. Obviously, it is still going to be a dangerous situation. We're in a hostile environment, regardless of what we do. So, there is that danger. But as soon as the danger of that mission, and we've already had this conversation between the two of us, starts to overwhelm this group, we're pulling the plug and we're finding the safest way to get away from here.
Out of character really quick, would we automatically know what that mission was, or he hadn't shared it with us?
No. We haven't shared it yet.
And who was it who shared the fact that some of the party had been lost or captured?
For Landing Team Alpha?
Yes. No, for Beta. Robinson shared it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Military objectives going forward. One, we've got, as far as Landing Team Beta's priorities, we've got some missing people that we need to find.
Yes,
and we need to secure their safety. Captain Quebec, what you are in this meeting for is And we have not got a chance to talk about this pointing at the other Captain James. As far as what of your equipment, your shuttle is, I mean, I'm assuming you guys didn't crash land from the communication we got that you were attacked after the landing.
We were attacked after the landing. In fact, I don't know what happened to the shuttle after we were taken away.
So it is still conceivable that that is a working shuttle.
All right.
So
it's my job to get it up and running.
We need to figure out what from our busted shuttle we need to take as backup to fix whatever might have gone awry with the other shuttle.
All right.
Since it's been missing.
Also, we've been separated from technology since the crash. I mean, I was the only one who was left after the true hive devastated our ranks. So I don't have any readings with me about latitude or longitude. So I'm not exactly sure where this is. We're going to need to actually, another objective of ours is to go ahead and track down this shuttle just to make sure that we're able to find it. And then we can go ahead and assess it for what's needed in terms of damages.
Well, we do have communications with the Lunar Alliance station.
Oh, we do.
We do.
Yes,
that's how we were able to triangulate where we are, where you guys first landed, and we did pick up your locator beacon signal. So,
good thing to know that still works.
Those are still working. I'm assuming those. Quebec, did you pick up mine?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So those are still working. So we can use those to triangulate position to coordinate efforts.
I love triangulating.
Life force. Precious the life force.
Let's stay on topic here. Okay.
You're always my topic.
Is this going to be a problem, Captain?
Problem?
Are you taking your mission seriously?
Of course I am.
If you're taking it seriously, cut the chit-chat, cut the jokes, and let's get down to business. Because at any moment, I have the authority to pull the plug on your mission. So if you are going to joke about it, I'm not going to risk any more of my people on your mission. Is that understood?
Well, that wasn't part of the plan.
But that is part of protocol. Is that understood? I'm still waiting on an answer, Captain.
We'll talk more about this later.
No more discussion is needed. It's either a yes or no. Right here.
I'm serious about the mission. We'll continue on with that.
When we get back, you know this is going in my report. You want to play things by the book? I'm strictly going by the book.
Heaven only knows if we are going back. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lunar Alliance actually bombs the working shuttle.
Are you going to contribute, or are you going to hold up the plan even further?
I'm just citing a problem that I think could happen, but I'll do my best to work everything out.
From here on out, you need to stay on target way more than this that just happened. Otherwise, we're getting out of here. Anyway, he turns to everybody else and says, all right, just so that you guys are aware, and then he points to Aurora, Captain James, do you feel it necessary to let these two, my first sergeant and the captain of a potential working shuttle, to know what the mission is? Or will that stay between the two of us?
For right now, let's keep it between the two of us. The less people who know, the less people who can tell.
Right. Which, by the way, if anybody is to know, it needs to be military personnel, and that is it. And that is definitely including Dran Renner.
Oh, you don't trust him?
Yeah, he's shown propensity for pretty much killing people. Or wanting to kill people.
Mm.
Wanting to kill members of this expedition.
That sounds a little bloodthirsty.
I believe so. Robson, since we're on that topic.
Yes, sir.
What's going on with that surveillance since I've been away?
Okay, we haven't had a chance to actually, like, explain to him the whole... Gotcha, okay. Well, sir, I told you that we lost track of... What is Wendy's last name?
Ford.
Okay, Ms. Ford and Ms. Kristoff, Dr. Kristoff. There was an altercation, as I am informed, there was an altercation with the two of them in the quarantine tent, as well as Dr. Jindal and Dran. And it resulted in Ms. Ford threatening with a weapon, then ran outside of the perimeter, and Dr. Kristoff pursued her. An order went out over the comms to not pursue.
So back up for a second. This altercation was of Mr. Renner's doing?
No, sir. Okay. As I understand, Dr. Ford was not in a stable mental place after an attack that took place by the, I believe you called it the True Hive, ma'am?
That's right.
She may have been mentally unstable at the time. As I understand it, Dr. Kristoff was attempting to talk her down from a suicide attempt. Dran was there mediating, I suppose, and things spun out of control, and we lost both of them outside of the perimeter. Who was it that pursued them? There was Dran and somebody else.
Stanton.
Okay. Is that private?
Yeah, PFC.
So I would guess that all this information came from Stan to Robinson.
Yeah.
Right.
Stanton and Jindal.
Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and say that the meeting closes with a full update on the information because right. we're running over on time. So we'll go ahead and stop there for this week, and then when we come back, we'll go ahead and see what's going on.
As the meeting comes so close, Orion's going to turn to Aurora. And now we need to have a conversation.
All right. Well, we will hear what happens in that conversation next time on Bone Throwers Theater.
Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. The cast is Carlin, Jeff, Jeremy, Johnny, Jordan, and Stephanie. This podcast is released under our Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Please feel free to share the podcast, but please do not modify it or attempt to gain financially from it. To find the show online, visit our site, bonethrowerstheater.com. Our Twitter feed is @bonethrowerstheater, and our email address is bonethrowerstheater@gmail.com. Join our social networks on Facebook and Google+. Podcast art was designed by Laura Tress and is used with her permission. Until next time, may the bones fall in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.